bedtime. Go long bedtime. We are rid of you at last. Howdy, gay times. Cloudy, gray times. You are now a thing of the past. Days are here again. The skies above are clear again. So let's sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again. All together. Shout it loud, there's no one can doubt it now. So let's tell the world about it now. Happy days are here again. Your cares and troubles are gone.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Now the man at my house, he's so big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile. When he says to me, how's my child? I said that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father. I think I'll color him love.
Color him love.
Said I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color the man love. Yes, I will.
Color him father.
He says education is the thing if you want to compete. Because without it done, life ain't very sweet. I love this man and I don't know why. Except I'll need his strength until the day that I die. My mother loves him, and I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard her say just the other day that if it hadn't been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I thought I'd color him father. I'm gonna color him love. I've got to color him father. I think I'll color this man love. Our real old man, he got killed in the war. And she knows she and seven kids couldn't have gotten very far. She says she thought that she could never love again. And then there he stood with that big wide grin. He married my mother and he took us in. And now we belong to the man with that big wide grin. I've got to color this man father. I'm gonna color him love. I've got to color him father. I wish I'll color this man love. He's just been so good to me. I know I've got to color him love. I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
I've got to color this man love.
Color him father.
He's just so good.
good morning, and welcome again to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. If you have any questions and want to participate in today's show, please call in 524-1080. My guest today is Mrs. Pearl Johnson of League of Women Voters and Dr. Keone Dudley. And we're going to be talking about various issues regarding the rail and some of the new, I'll call it revelations, or some of the old things that may not have gotten the attention. And any proponents of the rail, you're welcome to call in, and as long as you're civil about it, we don't shout and yell here. But anyway, thank you, Dr. Dudley and Ms. Johnson. Dr. Dudley, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your involvement in this issue?
Okay. I am a retired teacher, mm-hmm. and when I retired in 2004, I looked around, and we live up on a hill overlooking the Eva Plain. I just saw the beautiful farmland down below us, and then I began to hear about the intention to cover that farmland with housing, mm-hmm. and I realized that, you know, the time has come here in Hawaii for us to take a stand and to realize that this island's going to get paved over. And if we don't stop it, no one will, you know. And I was retired, so I decided I would get into it.
Mm-hmm.
I had formed an organization called the Friends of Makakilo. We have about 600 members, and I decided that I would represent them before the Land Use Commission as an intervener.
Mm-hmm.
And we were successful. The project is actually called Ho'opili. It's a huge housing project between Kapolei and Waipahu. The project's going to have 12,000 houses if they're allowed to build it. It would also have the rail going straight across it.
Mm-hmm.
The rail is a very important part of the project because when you have rail, you can have transit-oriented developments around the rail stations, which mm-hmm. means high-rises. And that makes the development much, much more lucrative for the owners.
Mm-hmm.
So the owners, Campbell Estate, sold the property to D.R. Horton. Horton is the largest builder of homes in America, and they bought it purely to develop it. We stand and say, you know, no, we need this land. We need this farms for our own future survival. You know, and so that's been our stand. In the study of, what is it going to take to keep this in farmland, it became really obvious that the rail is one of the principal problems.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor wants the rail. The mayor wants the rail to go across D.L. Horton's land. And so everything was scheduled that way. They didn't really look at other kinds of alternatives. They didn't look at other routes. And so about 2 months ago, Cliff Slater sent me a form. He said, why don't you take a look at this, Keone? And it was a farmland conversion impact rating is what it was. Now, the Federal Farmland Policy Act, Federal Farmland Protection Policy Act, requires that any time that federal money is going to be used for any project that is going to impact farmland in a negative way, they have to do an impact rating. And that's what this farmland conversion impact rating is all about.
So we're going to go and weigh the details, and you have more information on it. And
yeah.
Let me get
sure.
Pearl, can you just briefly tell us something about you and your involvement in this? And so the listeners, it is clear, are you, the two of you, in support of the rail or in opposition, just for clarification?
Okay, I'm in support of the rail. I just want to see it put underground. I want to see it a different method, and I want to see a different route.
And Pearl?
The League of Women Voters has been against rail
mm-hmm.
for decades now. This last rail incarnation is no different from the others in that the minuscule impact that it will have on traffic congestion is definitely not worth the huge cost. So the League has been fighting against rail, and I believe that our January 15th forum on the rail financial report commissioned by Governor Lingle was a turning point in that we, people who were against rail, had a rallying point. And since then, we've had press conferences and testified in the city council. And, you know, the League has voted to support the rail lawsuit. Unfortunately, too late to be in the original filing, but they will be. If there is another filing, then we will be a co-plaintiff.
Mm-hmm. I see. So you're bringing some very interesting, this Farmland Impact Act, for example, and the earlier show we were talking sustainability. This seems to be contrary to sustainability as it relates to agriculture. And then you shared with me earlier that the rating, there was some falsifications of documentation or statements. Can you give us some more details as to who falsified and when, and some of the information you have on it?
Sure. The form is called the Farmland Conversion Impact Rating, and that is supposed to be filled out by two different agencies. One is the Natural Resources Conservation Service, okay, the NRCS, that's a federal agency, okay, and the other would be the agency that is going to impact the farmland, that would be the Federal Department of Transportation. Somehow, instead of the Federal Department of Transportation doing it, they had the city do it. And there is a letter from the NRCS thanking the city for working with them on the project and naming a lady who works for Parsons Brinckerhoff as, it seems, the person who filled out the form. And so what we have then is that Parsons Brinckerhoff, which is the company doing much of the building of the rail, you know, the guys who are doing the EIS, the guys who are doing all the planning, and the people who are in very tight with the former mayor and the current mayor, they are the persons who are filling out the form. Now, the form, if you come in with 160 points or above, then you must do a study of alternative routes. And there is an alternative route. You know, there's the old Oahu Railway and Land route, which is still sitting there empty, 40 feet wide, going all the way into the city. And it's only a mile away. Mm-hmm. So the problem is that whoever did the rating rated it at 120. Now, what I've done over the last several months is to go to experts, people from the University of Hawaii, people from the Farmers, Hawaii Farmers Union, people who really know and have credentials, and every one of them has brought in a score over 200. So, you know, when you bring in a score of 120 and everybody else is bringing in a score of over 200 and the score that is going to be tipping the scale is 160, there's got to be some question there.
To arrive at the, what is the criteria? There are certain points.
There are 10 questions that are asked and they have various points. Yeah.
Can you give some of the questions? Do you have any idea? but there are 10 questions and the ratings, there's a point average or a value assigned to each question?
Yes. Carol, I think we should really tell the radio audience that I just didn't come prepared for this question this morning. I thought we were going to talk about something entirely else.
And so, okay.
So, you know, I have all that paperwork, and I'm really well prepared to go through it and lay it all out. But, you know, the questions are things like, From the corridor, the rail corridor, what is the distance to the next urban land around, you know? And most people would take a look at the map which goes with the thing, and then they would say, okay, well, maybe about at the most 20%, maybe 30% of this is within a mile of urbanization. Mm-hmm. And so they would put a pretty high score down there. These people, you know, put a very low score, like as if urbanization was right within 20 feet from the quarter. It's questions like that. It's questions like, one of the questions is, does this farmland have any kind of infrastructure? Does it have cooling systems for the vegetables? Does it have buildings for offices? Does it have sheds for packing and storing and places for fixing machinery and so forth? Well, obviously, this is one of the second largest farms in the state. It has all of those things. The rating should have come in 25. It came in zero. You know. Another question about: are there any laws that protect the farmland? They put down zero. Well, it's, you know, the state constitution that is very strong about protecting farmland.
Where are these things posted? Or if you have copies, can you provide us copies? We'll post them on the website.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Okay, we're going to be making a release to the press this week, okay. And I'd be happy to send you all this stuff. Yes.
Well, I don't want to wait till the if you can do it, because we're talking about
sure,
it now.
Sure.
I don't want my listeners to sitting here in limbo.
Wait
until
I'll get that to you today.
Yeah, if you could, okay. We'll give you. But how does this impact you not being a plaintiff in the original suit? Has this information been shared with the original people that filed the suit that you spoke of earlier?
Oh, yes.
And are they thinking of amending their complaint to incorporate this?
I don't know about that. The suit is really, you know, the League of Women Voters joined it because the suit is about good government, which mm-hmm. is the reason the League exists.
Mm-hmm.
Good government was not practiced when heavy rail elevated was chosen.
Mm-hmm.
We and many others wanted a look at other alternatives which would have relieved traffic congestion much more at a lower cost.
Mm-hmm.
When the alternatives analysis was being done, we were told, you're too soon. Wait, you'll get your chance.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then the draft environmental impact statement came out. So then we said, now, listen to us. Oh, you're too late. You should have spoken up a long time ago. There never was a time when we would have been on time.
Really?
So the suit is about this, that alternatives were never really considered. When they did the alternatives analysis, they loaded up what alternatives they did consider with all kinds of impediments and costs which really do not exist,
mm-hmm.
so that they could come to their conclusion that heavy elevated rail is the best alternative.
Wow. So the ho'opili that you speak about, what, you're in opposition to ho'opili, or you're supporting ho'opili but opposing the rail, or opposing both because of the loss of the ag land?
Opposing both because of the loss of ag land.
Uh-huh.
Ho'opili is the big piece of farmland which is currently being farmed. It's the highest producing farmland in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And it sits between Waipahu and Kapolei. It's all the property below the freeway that you see below the freeway there, that's in farmland at the present time. We feel that, you know, there are going to be future calamities. There are going to be tsunamis. There are going to be hurricanes. Mm-hmm. There are going to be things that are going to separate us from the rest of the world. You know, there are going to be wars. There are going to be epidemics. There are going to be all kinds of things. If we pave over our best farmland now, we'll never be able to reclaim that farmland. Mm-hmm. You know, once it's gone, it's gone. And we're going to need that land for future survival. Mm-hmm. We import 85% of what we eat. We only have 1 week's supply of food on this island. Mm-hmm. And, you know, any calamity that comes along is going to put us in really, really tough shape.
So just for purpose of conversation.
Sure, sure, sure.
How does one support the rail when this seems to be a drastic step or an extreme measure or step taken by the city government and others to implement this rail, to go forward with this rail? How do you still support the rail if this is, and is there any way that you believe that you're going to undo Ho'opili?
Yes.
Oh, you do? but so if you do, then what then happens? Do we have the amount of money to address that? But just throwing it out there, if you could share with, just for conversation, I'm not taking any issue, any side, but just for the purpose of conversation.
Okay. I was the intervener before the Land Use Commission back in 2009. It was my motion that the Land Use Commission acted on at that time to declare the petition of D.R. Horton, the developer, to be deficient.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really won at that time. Now they're trying to come back. They're going to come back on June 30th. We're hoping on June 30th we're going to have a number of people down there, a large number of people down, holding signs and so forth, testifying and so forth. We expect that there is a good, we think there's a good possibility that we can turn them back on June 30th. If not, we're feeling very positive about winning the case by the time that the developer would finish their presentation and so forth, mm-hmm. which would be a couple of months later.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen then? That would mean that the farmland would stay in farmland. It would also it would then force the developers of the rail to come back and apply for the rail going through the agricultural land. You know, and there are a lot of reasons at that time why they would be willing to turn the other way.
Mm-hmm.
One is the development of the DiBartolo Center. As you're aware, you know, we think of the train going into the city from nowhere, but in actuality, the train is going to go from the city out to nowhere. You know, it ends in an empty field right now. There's nothing there. And all that's going to be there is houses. What we're saying is, you know, a mile down the road is this huge Department of Hawaiian Homelands mall, which is going to be the second largest mall in the state, and the train isn't going there either.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pretty obviously, somewhere along the line, someone's going to say, hey, this train ought to come to our mall. And at that time, we hope to really start convincing people, hey, let's turn this whole thing around, head it the other direction, and send it down the ORNL, the old Oahu Railway and Land, right away, which goes into the city.
So, but then that would be a completely new rail. So why, if you're able to see that it is so badly broken, just this one section, if it's a, how does one support? I mean, what does it take? To how much will you tolerate? Something in my belief, this is a magnitude of out of 1 to 10. This would be a 10 with the whole period, the destruction of the ag land and all of that. And you would have to come back and completely do a completely new realignment. It would be a new rail. How?
Absolutely, and they absolutely should.
So how do you support the? Anyway, but I hope you understand.
That is what I support.
I'm trying to provoke. Yeah, hold on. Let me.
Okay.
Good morning, Paula. Comment or question?
Comment and a question.
Okay, go for it.
The comment is the gentleman there that's trying to protect the farmland. I really appreciate your efforts, sir. And, you know, finding someone who's really standing up and addressing the problem that we are facing by destroying, you know, it's the breadbasket of this island, and you're just going to cover it up for profit and whatever. This
you're
is
right.
Total stupidity. It's the long run. But are you in any collaboration with Cayetano and his lawsuit against this project? Or you could, you know,
yes,
if they stop it, we can stop this development over top of that land.
Yes, I am working with Governor Cayetano.
Oh, good, okay.
And so is the lady who is with me with the League of Women Voters. Yes, we're all working on this together.
And the 30th of June, where is this thing going to be?
It's going to be on Baratania Street and Alakea Street. Now, the hearing is in the state building, which is on Baratania, across from St. Andrew's Cathedral. So it's going to be on, the second or the third floor there. We're looking for a demonstration of people out in front on Baratania itself and on Alakea. They're both one-way streets, and we hope to line them about a half block or a block in both directions with a large number of people.
How about for the, you said a testimonial? Is there a possibility that I could sign up for testifying?
Yes, you sure could. And just come. The hearing should start about 9:30.
We're hoping should people be there about 8:30 or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you see me there because I'm a farmer and I can see if they do that, if they cover that land up, that's probably one of the biggest sins that this government has ever, you know, put upon all the people of the state, because that robs us, every single person of here, of quality, you know, food that we could have right in our backyard.
That's
the thing. No shipment, no second man touching the product. It's just from the farmer right to, you know, the people almost. So I really applaud you, sir, and let's move forward. And I'll see you there on the 30th.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
So the idea is to go in and testify against
the whole PD development. Now, we kind of have to keep things straight here. The testimony on the 30th will not really be about rail, except just tangentially, the fact that, the rail is going through there, and some people might oppose the rail, but we would expect that people would testify about, we really need to keep this as farmland. Mm-hmm. That's the basic thing, because that's what the case is about right now. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to say that the League of Women Voters is also for preserving farmland, and so we are definitely against covering this farmland with 12,000 houses. This farmland is the most valuable in the state and possibly in the world. It's capable of producing 4 crops a year. Transportation is excellent. It is close to the airport, close mm-hmm. to the highway. There is no other farmland that can be as productive, so that preserving it is so crucial to our future.
You know, that plain is rich for farming purposes.
It's really high quality land.
So if you're successful, and I'm hoping that you are, into stopping Ho'opili. But what would be the next step? Then what do you do? Then go back out and embrace the rail and engage in designing? Because if the checks and balances fail to keep their hands off of the Ho'opili or the ag land,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And if you're saying they're false, how would you be able to trust them to come back and do it the right way the second time? I'm just asking that.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to really keep our eye on them this time.
Yeah, yeah. And I can buy you a big stick because you're going to need one.
You know, Carol, I just want to say, too, that before we go to that person,
uh-huh.
It's not just the farm. I mean, it's the elevated rail in the city that's going to destroy the views. We've got, we've got groups in the city that are really fighting that. I support that. I don't want the views destroyed in the city. You know, it's as you go through Waipahu. Waipahu was such a pitiful little town for so long, and it just so recently,
mm-hmm.
They really beautified Waipahu. And now they're in there tearing out those trees and tearing out all the beautification and just ruining the town again. That town is going to become a ghetto. You know, the AEIS itself says that they're going to close one lane on each side.
Mm-hmm.
Ever been through Waipahu in the afternoon, in the morning, right now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody's going to be able to get into the businesses. It's just and then once this elevated monstrosity with its flying football field stations. It's just so ugly. Mm-hmm. And that town's just going to be a ghetto.
Caller, comment, a question for the guest?
Yeah, just a quick question. What is the proximity of this farmland, Old Philly, and the new UH campus that's going to be built shortly on our north-south road?
The UH campus is just right across north-south road from the Ho'opili land. The Ho'opili land is between north-south road and Waipahu, and right across the street is the UH West Oahu.
Okay, my question is, why didn't you all protest the building of the UH campus there since it's taken up prime farmland?
You know, it comes down to... What are the real needs, and how do you balance the needs, and also what is possible to take a stand on, and what isn't possible to take a stand on, and so we decided that there is great need for the university campus out there. There's great needs for the jobs that it'll bring. That'll get people off the freeway. The campus can have a large agricultural program in connection with the farms. It can really teach people how to farm again. So it seemed to us that, you know, rather than fight the battle, which is impossible, to take on the university, why not work with the university instead, and realize that, you know, we're going to lose some of that land. Let's go for what is possible.
Well, okay, so you tend to pick and choose which is the easiest route to take. Now, as far as I agree with you, we need the university. We also need housing. People keep moving here in droves from the mainland, and local families are bringing in children. So we need housing.
We sure do. And that's why the city has already given us 30,000 houses in the Eva Plain that are already through the Land Use Commission, through the zoning of the city, and have full entitlement to be built. That's 30,000 houses. Now, if we go up to Waiapa, there are 17,000 houses in Waiapa, fully zoned, fully entitled, all the way through the Land Use Commission, ready to be built. Let's go up to Coal Ridge. Coal Ridge has 8,000 houses. We've got 80,000 houses. Okay?
Hold on, caller. This is not other shows. Just let him speak, and you can have as much time as you want.
So we've got 80,000 houses ready to go here, and maybe that's going to be enough for a while. Maybe we ought to just hold off for, say, 50 years, take a look at this agricultural land 50 years from now and realize that, hey, man, sure glad we held on to that. You know, we've got enough houses around, sir. And we got enough jobs, too, you know. It's not just the construction industry that could, you know, it's the builders who aren't building. It's the roads that need thousands of people working on. It's the sewers that need thousands of people working on. It's the water mains that need thousands of people working on. We got the jobs, you know.
I don't know about this. We've got the jobs. But every time a developer out in the leeward area, it's sold out, and they start building another development because people come in and buy all the existing housing, so they have to continue building because there's a market for housing. Unfortunately, it can't bring the price down, but even at Ocean Point, where the average house is $500,000 plus, they sell out.
Yeah.
And a large portion of the local people that buy, they struggle to buy these homes.
Okay, caller, we're going to move on to another caller.
Thank you for calling. Thanks for listening. But my question was, why didn't the protest take the farmland for UH campus? Thank you. Bye.
All righty, we'll talk again. Thank you. Good morning. Comment or question for the guest?
Oh, yes. I have a sort of like a comment. I keep hearing of this Ho'opili. Now at 12,000 homes. What happened to the 65,000 homes that was the original publicity on this new Ho'opili project? I was out there Wednesday for the meeting. Past meeting on the rail, and I am still in awe at the amount of development that is there now. I live in Kahalu. I believe, this is my belief, that the development that's there now existing between Kapolei and the Ewa Plain is far greater than Kahalu, Kaneohe, Kailua, and Waimanalo put together. And yet, as I drove around, seems to be nobody's home. They must be very busy working to pay for those mortgages, or these structures are all empty. Not all, excuse me.
Yeah.
Are empty, waiting for people outside of Hawaii who can afford it. That's my comment.
Okay.
Aloha.
Aloha, thank you. You know, like the caller earlier, you know, and it's a valid question, you know, public ask. How do you pick and choose? And, you know, the educational aspect of it, the benefits that the UH, but the some others have asked that same question. Why wasn't there hell raised in the shaping of that and the placement of that? Now, those are just some of the questions. You don't have to address it. It was just following up with the caller's comments.
Okay. I will say that, you know, my position has always been that that university should be up on the hill. And I'm on the neighborhood board out in Makilo Kapolei. I've held that position all along. I was the only person, really, who stood up and said again and again, you know, let's put it up on the hill. And I really, you know, I appreciate the caller's the concern, but the truth of the matter is, when you know that there is no possibility of taking on something, and then you see that next to it is 1,500 acres of the best farmland in the world, you take the best farmland in the world and sacrifice what you can't do, you know.
And I'll give you a pro. Another. Where would you propose? Let's say you're successful in Ho'opi to kill it. That means the rail won't go through there either, right?
Yeah.
Where then, if I could hear from you, where are you proposing, or is that thought going to come later in the ones that you support? Where's the rail going to go?
Okay.
Where are you proposing it go? And then are you going to turn around and give back the same people, Parker Brinkerhoff, the same city, the same people that have put you in this predicament? Are you going to invest your trust in that, or are you going to seek external? I mean, reality, how does one, to me, I equate it to you pulling up a bank and there's a robbery in progress and the guy walks out carrying a bag and a mask and you ask, what are you doing in there? Well, there was a robbery in progress. Oh, well, here, hold my money and I guess I'll come back. You know, you're putting a lot of trust in something that you clearly... You arrived at this predicament because something was wrong. The checks and balances were wrong. So you're going to go back and trust that same system? I'm puzzled. You know, but again.
All right, Carol. First of all, let me talk to you about what we would do if we're able to stop Ho'opili.
Right.
The transit-oriented development, which is the extremely lucrative development, because you've got high rises, and you know you make so much money off of selling land
for
a high rise. Okay, we're going to move all that over onto the university property. Remember that university property? A small part of it is going to be the university, but the rest of it was to sell. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, so we're going to put the TOD, this transit-oriented development with all the high-rises, over on that property so that the state which owns it gets all that money instead of the developer. Right now, the transit-oriented development is over on Horton's property. So we would have below the campus, on the Mackay side of the campus, we would put the station, the Indian station. We would also put the high-rises there, but we would head the station, head the train south towards the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
We would take it down through the Croc Center. We would put it over on North-South Road like it currently is at the present time. And then we would head it down to the new DiBartolo Center,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, going to be the second largest mall in the state. And then a half block away, we would connect on to the ORNL line. We would head it into town then on the old ORNL line. Now, it's 40 feet wide. You only need 30 feet for this development. You would put it on the ground, not elevated. Where those tracks cross Fort Weaver Road, we would put a station. There's a huge open lot there, a big place for a park and ride. And then we would continue it on to the to IAEA, following that that route in. Okay, what that would do is it would allow the train to serve Eva and Eva Beach. Right now, every single person in Eva and Eva Beach is going to have to take the freeway to town because there's not one single park and ride stall for them to park in anywhere. They're going to come up. They're going to come up Fort Weaver Road just like they are right now, except there's going to be 80,000 of them, and they're going to go under the train as they move towards the freeway, and there's just no place for them to stop and get on a train. Then there's going to be a station.
So, are you willing to? We've spent quite a bit of money already in the effort to acquire more money, or to we're hopping through hoops. You're willing to be part of a process that is going to tack on more costs?
No.
Are you?
If we put this thing on the ground, we'll save $2 billion. I mean, you know, we talk now about throwing away some millions, okay?
Well, are you going to have to do? I mean, okay. It sounds, I understand what you're saying, but if we, and then I was going to ask you, who is we? Because if you're going to alter the route and alter the type of train and its location, that's creating an entire newly different system. So you're going to have to start all over again to get it approved, because it's what was voted on. I don't think you think the taxpayer should go back and have the opportunity to vote again if we want rail, or just fall under the same umbrella.
No.
That authorized this one.
I think we need to vote again.
Okay.
But I want to answer your question. You know, the thing right now is supposed to cost $5 point something billion. The people are saying, you know, it's going to be $7 billion.
Right.
We got to realize every contract that's been given right now is there's a startup date, and every contract says, you know, the city has to tell the startup date, and no money goes until the startup date. You can cancel every one of those contracts by just saying the contract. The startup date is in the year 3012, right? 1,000 years from now.
Yeah.
We've only thrown away a small number of millions of dollars compared to $7 billion, and burdening ourselves for generations and generations.
I just felt my listeners go, "What do you mean thrown away? We don't have the money."
In concern to $7 billion and the burden we got coming, few million is not much.
Right? I've heard of the midnight train to Georgia, but the midnight train that starts from nowhere and ends nowhere. I don't know how you could support it. But anyway, the ag is very plausible as far as I'm concerned, but you for me personally, you lose me when you say we got to do away with this, because, and then you're turning around saying, but we'll accept the rail in a different form and a different process, and we're going to rely on the same people that screwed us in the beginning.
No, I'm not saying we're going to rely on the same people, and I'm glad you're bringing
that up. It's the same system.
But, you know, we're going to have to do something about the mayor.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to do something about getting the right people on the city council.
Well, what do we do?
let's think about
golden moment. Tell us what we've been looking for an answer,
okay.
How to get the right people in.
Well,
mic for Kim.
I think we're really going to have to start looking very seriously upon us Trepidoras. You know, I think we're going to have to start looking. I think that a real major issue for this next campaign that's going to be coming up has got to be, you know, where does this guy stand on rail? I think our present mayor, he didn't talk about rail very much. You know, it was we've got to make sure that we've got the money for everything. We've got to make sure we got the money for everything. And by golly, you know, he was a clone for a movie. You know?
Okay.
Can I say something about that vote, which people keep talking about? At the time of the vote, the cost of the rail was $3.8 billion, so that I don't think that they should rely on that vote.
Mm-hmm.
They said the cost was almost $2 billion less than it is now, so that if we say, well, the people voted for it, the people voted for a much less expensive system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The League, I'd like to talk about what the League...
Let me
make another point about the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Only a 0.5% above half voted for it. 50.5% of the people who voted, voted for it. Now, this is when you count the people who did not mark the ballot on that at all. It was 50.5%. Now, what the League advocates is improving the bus system. The bus system is the best in the nation right now. All we need to do is improve it. There, what it needs is an elevated exclusive highway, which would cost a mere fraction of what rail will cost. Then buses could get on, speed at 60 miles an hour into town. Buses could pick up people where they live, speed at 60 miles an hour into town, drop people off where they work. Mm-hmm. The train doesn't go to the greatest employment centers, so that if people took the train, they would have to take the bus to the train station, wait for the train, get on the train, get off somewhere near where they work, mm-hmm. and wait for another bus to get to where they work.
Mm-hmm.
I see you have another caller.
Caller, go ahead if you have a comment or question.
Yeah, just a quick 2 second question. All your guests sound quite elderly. Do they commute to work every morning? What's the rest of commuters? Or do they have to drive to work every morning?
Well, Ed, you must have tuned in.
Thank you, bye.
You must have tuned in a little late. They said that they had retired. So they're now spending their time trying to strike up a balance. But I do appreciate the two of you doing this. And what I'd like to do is offer, we still got time, but offer just an open discussion, because I see you sometime on TV or having commented, but the rest of the world don't get to hear that. So I'd like to offer another opportunity where you could just come and talk about some of the greater intricacies of this subject, the two of you. You're welcome.
I'd like to address the last caller's concern.
Go for it.
Commuters will not see any relief when the rail is built. Very few people actually plan to take the rail,
mm-hmm.
and so they plan to ride in streets that are less congested.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even their own environmental impact statement shows that traffic will be worse, even with the grossly exaggerated ridership that they posit. Traffic will be worse after the rail is built.
Mm-hmm.
So commuters, please, do not pin your hopes on rail to be able to get to your job faster.
I'm excited to see one for, one against, but you're able to sit here and talk, and that's what we haven't seen. It's as if two mongoose in a cage when we look on TV, when in reality there's people have similar concerns but different motivations, right?
That's right, yeah.
And you know, I only ask those questions because there was a lot of callers that tell me I was going to call in but I was afraid to, you know, so I to provoke you or to, I'm trying to ask the questions in a fashion.
Keep on asking.
You know, so, but again, you've to pick the time, and I'll leave the hour to you or whatever.
Wonderful.
Because this issue, there have been so many underhanded practices. And if you were, this was a medical doctor and you went in and he behaved this way, would you trust him if he failed to do your surgery on your hand properly, would you go back and ask him to do a kidney transplant? You know, it's the same thing, you know. How do you trust that same doctor? You would be demanding, well, at least I'll come back to this facility, but you won't operate on me, pal.
Yeah.
You know, I want a team of doctors this time.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to get at. And,
yeah.
and but again, go ahead.
Okay, another thought is just, you know, when we look at traffic and what is going to be the solution for traffic, the biggest solution we can have is the build-up downtown Kapolei.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about, you know, high-rises with people in them. I'm talking about businesses, you know. We've got to get the business section of Kapolei going. That's something that Campbell Estate has just really stood in the back burners on, you know. Nobody's really pushed it. Common sense says, you know, the people coming in from the Waianae Coast, they're looking for jobs. They want jobs in Kapolei. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with the train is it doesn't go to Kapolei. You know, I mean, so it takes us 20 years to build up Kapolei.
The bus goes there.
It does.
And improve the bus, which is already in place.
And you're right.
Yeah. Caller, comment a question right quick.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I attended a seminar for the rail at the Blizzard for disability and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago, and Wayne Yoshioka was there, Sarantino and whatnot. But my concern is elevated rail for disabled, you know, they have it high up, the stations are going to be made. I suggested that when they make the first station, we take a look at it as disabled people, so we can look at if they did it right or not, and before they make the other 20 rail stations. And they said they were going to do that. I hope they let us look at it before they start, you know.
Yeah, these are the same people, I hope, or different people that looked at ADA on the buses, that we now have problems with the buses, or some of the buses not ADA compliant.
Right.
So,
well, they'll rely on escalators and elevators, and how reliable are escalators and elevators,
uh-huh.
especially with the city's reputation for maintenance.
Right.
Even in department stores, sometimes you see that escalator or elevator is out of order.
And what
so
happens
at a train station,
you
know, if one of them is out of order, then you just all you have to do is walk another mile and go to another station.
Right.
And I think your concern is very well placed.
Another thing, as I mentioned at the seminar, was what if the rail gets stuck in between the two stations, and how are you going to get those people evacuated off the top of the rail?
That's right.
And they said they had an emergency backup, but, you know, anything can happen, you know. It's not guaranteed.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right.
All right.
The emergency backup is there is electric generators in every station, and they will bring the train to the station. But once it gets to the station, that's where you wind up, you know, and then you don't go anywhere.
Hello.
The other thing
please
is,
leave a message after the call.
The other thing is, if you're if you arrive at the station and you're handicapped and the elevator doesn't work, you don't go into town. But, you know, that's not nearly as bad as coming from town and you get off at a station and the elevator doesn't work and you're stuck up there 60 feet or 100 feet in the air, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
But these are the same people we're going to go back to and have them redo the news.
You don't care.
I would do a mail order. For a company that's going to do the right thing before I support anything.
I think you're really bringing out something that is terribly important. You know, they say that this is a city where the major builders have already come in and other major builders won't come in because these guys are going to get all of their bits. And that was the reason why Parson Brinkerhoff got it in the first place, you know. They formed a little company with people from Parsons Brinkerhoff so as to have another alternative for the bid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we've got a major problem here, and that's a mission. I mean, you've got so many missions, but,
well, yeah.
But man, that's a good mission for you, you know. Yeah. It really is, to make sure we've got a builder that we can trust.
Well, we don't have a whole lot of time. I'm sitting here thinking there was so much we should have given 2 hours. Would you be willing to come back?
Sure,
would you like to come back?
Yes.
You two pick the date, and if you want to bring others, or and if you see any supporters or planners or contractors involved in the rail, see if you could finagle them or trick them into coming. They won't come on the show for nothing. They'll go on other shows, I guess, because they...
But let me tell you what happened in 2007,
mm-hmm.
when the alternatives analysis was still being done. The League got 1 hour of primetime television on KHON
mm-hmm.
to debate the merits of the rail plan. We could not find a single supporter of rail
mm-hmm.
to go on primetime television to defend rail.
Wow.
So KHON had to cancel it.
Wow.
That was in 2007.
Well, let's do it again on the Carol Cox Show. We'll do it in 2011.
Thank you, Carol.
We'd love to, because I'm puzzled at what goes back and forth with this. How do people contact you, or real quickly, way down to the last minute?
Okay, let me say that, you know, again, June 30th is terribly important. Please come down, join us. Give me a call. I'm in the phone book. My name is Keone Dudley. I spell it K-I-O-N-I. Number is 672-8888. Pearl?
The League of Women Voters, the number at the office is 531-7448.
Okay.
Our website is lwv-hawaii.com. So please do come on June 30th. This is our best hope for saving the best farmland in the world.
Okay, and saving the taxpayers' money.
Amen.
Being cornered, being railroaded. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I appreciate the two of you coming, and that invitation is open. You name the date, and I just like to have the listeners be able to exchange and talk. And so thank you again.
Thank you.
All righty,
guys, we'll see you next week, and take care. And again, because I had told you about that scuba diving summer camp at Oahu Club, 395-3300 is the number. The website is theoahuclub.com. They got a good program, and kids should learn, because if they learn to scuba dive and whatever, maybe they'll see why it's necessary and important to preserve and conserve our environment. So see you next week, and aloha.
That went by.
And I'm busted. Cotton is down to a quarter of a pound, but I'm busted.